The San Jose Sharks Audio Network is on 24 hours a day. Whether you're in the office or on the go, make sure that you download the Sharks SAP Center app and hit listen anytime. You can also find us on your computer by going to sjsharks.com/listen. If it's a game broadcast, breaking news, or a player feature, the place to find it is right here on the San Jose Sharks Audio Network. Welcome to the Stanley Cup Playoff Report. Here are Dan Rusinowski and Drew Remenda.
Episode 9 of the Stanley Cup Playoff Report commences, and there are four teams left. It is the conference final. And wouldn't you know it, those teams happen to be in the Eastern Conference, the Carolina Hurricanes and the Florida Panthers. And in the West, it's the Edmonton Oilers and the Dallas Stars. And Drew, we're going to get into some of the reasons why we are at this point, but I think it's a pretty exciting conference final setting up in both conferences.
Four teams that have been good for a long period of time, four teams that are built really well, have got depth, have got star players, and play what in coaches' terms the right way. They all compete, they don't shortcut. They are four teams that are extremely well coached. And I'm looking forward to it. I'm really looking forward to a series that starts tonight as we record this between Carolina and Florida. And then our good friend Pete DeBoer, Steve Spott, they get to go at it with the Edmonton Oilers once again.
That's true. And of course, if it happens that Dallas were to play Florida in the Stanley Cup final, why, you would have those old buddies who are basically integral in each other's career. Pete DeBoer for the Dallas Stars and Paul Maurice for the Florida Panthers, going up against each other for all the beans.
Yeah, it would be great. Pete DeBoer credits Paul Maurice for getting him into coaching hockey. And they were each other's best men, I do believe, at their weddings. They are very, very close. And it would be fun to see those two match wits against each other.
But there's a reason why it is this situation with these four teams. And that brings us to Game 7 in Toronto between the Florida Panthers and the Toronto Maple Leafs. The game began with a lot of excitement.
Well, here we go. It is Game 7 against the Florida Panthers. And I said, cheering for a team is like having children. You scold them, you get upset with them, you throw things at them. In my day, when you did something wrong, you got your arse tanned, but you never stopped loving them. And so after a disappointing Game 5, everybody is back, and everybody has got their things going. We're ready to roll as they're at center ice for the opening faceoff of Game 7. And the puck is dropped, and we're underway, and glad you're with us.
That's about as loud as it got in that building that night.
It really did. The fans were into the game. They were ready to go. And by the way, Joe Bowman's a national treasure in Canada, without a doubt. When the Maple Leafs dropped that puck, that was the loudest that building's probably ever been. Because Toronto fans are normally quite reserved. Not on Game 7. They were ready to go.
Well, they were, but so was Sergei Bobrovsky in the nets for the Florida Panthers. And, of course, he's an outstanding multiple Vezina Trophy winner, a Stanley Cup champion. And he faced William Nylander pretty early on and was equal to the task.
William Nylander carries out to the line, tiptoes the blue line, cuts to the slot. Nylander lost it. It rolls. He recovers. A shot and a save made by Sergei Bobrovsky. And he keeps the game scoreless, Bobrovsky does, with a stellar save on William Nylander, who just pulled off, even though he didn't put the puck in the net, one heck of an individual effort there to get all the way in on goal.
How many times have we seen series decided in part because one goaltender is outstanding and the other one is good but not great?
A lot. In the Sharks' case, a lot. I mean, I keep going back to what Daryl Sutter told us a long time ago. It's not how many you make, it's when you make them. And that save, even though it was very close to going on the seven hole, between the arm and the chest, he still made the save. And it's an important save to make, because teams that score first in Game 7s now have a record of 151-50.
Darn good.
Yeah.
Pretty hard to come back, and it's because you're chasing the game right away, and you feel like you're chasing the whole series.
Exactly. And you don't. The whole thing with that game seven is that you're trying as hard as you can to play with aggression, play with a forward momentum, play with a compete level where you want to put pressure on the other team, and you don't want to make a mistake. And then that first goal goes in against your team, and you're like, oh. So it's a very important that save early in the game was very important, because overall, in that first period, the Florida Panthers were the team that put pressure on Maple Leafs. The Maple Leafs were horrendous to start that game in their own building. They turned the puck over. They didn't put pucks behind. They didn't put pressure. They didn't allow their game to get any traction whatsoever, Danny. And so they didn't put any pressure really on the Florida Panthers. But when that opportunity came on, as you heard Doug Plagans talk about the individual effort, it was a really good individual effort. The actually only one Nylander had that game. And Bobrovsky came up huge.
Well, the shots were 8-7 in favor of Florida in the first period. And out of those eight chances, not only was that save that he made on Nylander awesome, but I think out of the eight shots, they had maybe seven quality chances. So pretty outstanding chances on the other side, too. And Joseph Woll kept it nothing.
Yeah, he really did. Like, the one thing that Florida does is they get to their game early. Just what we talked about with the Toronto Maple Leafs. The start of the game was pucks behind, pressure, forecheck. That's how they make their wins, the Florida Panthers. That's what they do. They continue to put pressure on the opposition. Now, to credit the Leafs, they did come back in the later parts of that second period or the first period and get a couple of really dynamite chances, a couple of breakaway opportunities, as a matter of fact. But overall, the pressure that Florida brings on you, they just, it's like a boxer. They control the middle of the ring. They use the jab. They use the jab. They use the jab. And then as the later rounds continue, they get in and they get heavy and they get to work and they start throwing bombs. And that's what happened in this game.
Bob would make another big save on Scott Laughton in the first period, too.
Now Kelly Yarncroke, far side of the ice. In go the Leafs. Laughton, a breakaway. Laughton heads in, makes a move. Backhand save made by Bobrovsky with the left pad. Stop Laughton, who was all alone from the blue line in. And Sergei Bobrovsky, another nice save to keep this game scoreless.
Kind of interesting. You mentioned that Laughton save. There it was right there. And then, of course, Stephen Lawrence had a chance. You know, there were other opportunities, but it did not go into the net. And again, credit Bobrovsky for all of that. But in the second period, all of a sudden, things broke open in a very short span, and it began with Seth Jones.
Marner here on the near boards, dumped over, got a pass out to Carlo from the seat of his pants, long shot blocked out front. Over on the far side, Barkov will muscle it into the neutral zone. Rodriguez to Seth Jones. Right circle, Jones walks in, shot, he scores! Seth Jones gets the Panthers on the board here in Game 7. 16:45 to go in the second. It's 1-0 Panthers. Seth Jones on a heavy wrist shot out of the right circle.
Doug Plagans of Florida Radio with the call, and did you notice that the drum beating was louder than the fans at that point?
Yep, certainly was a terrible play in the neutral zone by Morgan Riley. Springs the 2-on-1. Terrific shot by Seth Jones. By the way, many people saying after that game, the best game they've ever seen Seth Jones play. And what a pickup he was, because he was exasperated. He was beaten. He was broken in Chicago. He gets to go to Florida and plays that type of game. Wow.
Well, it's amazing when you put a really good hockey player in a great environment, how they respond to that. Sometimes a young player isn't as able to be that sort of galvanizing person, which should make all of us in San Jose awfully lucky to know that Macklin Celebrini is a guy that can handle all of those things. Pretty obvious after his first season. But that's not really a strike against Jones. He's been a great player for a while.
With Seth Jones, but you talked about it, Danny. You said the key word around a team with the right environment and the right people showing the way. And that's all the difference.
Well, that goal by Jones opened up the floodgates for a couple of minutes, about 6 minutes, three goals for the Panthers in the second period. The second one wasn't scored by Matthew Tkachuk. Nope. It wasn't scored by Alexander Barkov. Nope. It was scored by a role player on the team. Where have we heard that before in the playoffs? Anton Lundell.
Marchand left side shot, saved, made by Woll. Loops out in front, and on the end boards, Lundell kept it alive. Marchand, right point, Mikkola. Nico Mikla, backhand to forehand, down along the far boards. Marchand shot, tipped in front, rebound, they score! And it's Anton Lundell! And the Panthers take a 2-0 lead with 12:42 to go here in the second. Anton Lundell picking up the loose change.
It's always the third and fourth line guys that win the Stanley Cup for you. Maybe it's going to happen again for Florida.
Lundell and Lustarainen do not get enough credit for how good they are, but that's what happens when you're on a really good team.
Well, the fourth line has been flipped around a little bit by Paul Maurice during the playoffs. And in this particular game, number seven, Nico Sturm, the Sharks' extraordinaire center iceman that moved over to Florida, was on the scratch list and not playing. But that didn't mean that there wasn't an ex-Shark that was about to make a contribution, because there was Jonah Gadjevich.
Tavares from behind his own net bolts up the near side. Backhand of the neutral zone, intercepted. Back in go the Panthers. Jones, Greer left circle shot, save wall. Greer the rebound in front of chance, and they score! Jonah Gadjevich makes it 3-0 Panthers! What effort in front of the net, and Jonah Gadjevich there to jam it in. The Panthers lead by a trio with 10:21 to go here in the second.
And boy, it was funereal in Toronto for most of the rest of the game. How about Jonah Gadjevich putting his body in there and just getting inside like so many coaches talk about?
Key on that play is Seth Jones so smartly, as Jonah Gadjevich was hustling back to make sure he stayed onside, that Seth Jones didn't touch the puck. And then they get it. He waits until they get back onside. Smart heads up play. Jonah hustling, and the hustling to get back into position, as you talk, to get inside at the net. Terrific, smart play all around.
So 3-0 in favor of Florida at the end of the second period. Lots of trouble in the city of Toronto with people going through stages of depression, analysis, despair, everything, hand-wringing. But Max Domi would at least give Toronto a chance in the third.
Domi trying to come out of the corner, got it back to the point. D to D, it goes to the far side. A long shot by Brandon Carlo was blocked. And Jones will get it out at center and play it to the Toronto blue line. Quickly back the other way, though, for Domi. Domi in with a shot. He scores! Max Domi gets the Leafs on the board, and hope springs eternal.
Hope springs eternal. That's all Joe Bowen had to say on that one. But unfortunately for the Maple Leafs, that would be it. And just a few seconds later, Etu Lustarainen, another role player, as you mentioned, getting his third to make it 4-1. Lustarainen scoring that goal. Then Sam Reinhart getting another one to make it 5-1, and started to dwindle down. About 4 minutes remaining in the game or so. Off came the goaltender Wall, and it came down to finally Brad Marchand to finish things off.
Over on the far side of the ice, here's Marchand. He'll send it all the way down, and he scores on the empty net. Brad Marchand, 6-1 Panthers with 3:03 to go here in this third period of play.
But the game had still time left on the clock, and here's how it ended.
Pounded out at center, final 10 seconds ticking down. And the Maple Leafs season will come to an end, and congratulations to Paul Maurice and his Florida Panthers, who are moving on to tangle with the Carolina Hurricanes. That series will start Tuesday night. And the Maple Leaf season comes to an abrupt and embarrassing end here. The teams will line up and shake hands. But what a demonstration and a dominance.
Best way to put it, Florida was putting on a demonstration, and they were dominant in Game 5 and in Game 7 in Toronto. And if you do that on the road, you are a threat to win everything.
The Toronto Maple Leafs kept talking all playoffs, before playoffs, once they got that home ice advantage in the playoffs, that this was going to be a different year. In fact, they talked all year. With Craig Berube coming in, things were going to change. They talked all year about how different they were going to be. But once again, in the biggest games at Maple Leaf Garden, at their home rink, they get outscored 12-2 in Games 5 and Game 7. And there is and there will be big changes coming for that team.
I don't think they can avoid it this time. No. They've kept this group together for 5 or 6 years now, when people were saying maybe there has to be a change or two. You know, Mitchell Marner is going to be an unrestricted free agent. He's going to get a big paycheck. The other side of it is, what's the future of John Tavares, whose contract is coming to a close? Those are just two of the players, you know, but there are several others too.
Danny, I believe that there are winners, guys that know how to win, guys that when the crunch time step is there, they step up. Think Justin Williams, Mr. Game 7. Played in 9 Game 7s. He's 8-1. He's got 15 points, 7 goals tied with Glenn Anderson as far as records in Game 7s. He's a winner. And I was listening to him yesterday, and he said, I knew I wasn't the best player in the world. I knew I wasn't the best player on the team. I knew I didn't have the greatest shot or was one of the highest scorers. He said, but I knew for a game that I could be. And certain guys have that. And some guys are winners, and we all can't be. I'm not saying the other guys are losers. I'm just saying they don't have the makeup to take that next step. And without a doubt, those core four guys, Marner, Matthews, Tavares, Nylander, together don't have that.
And if they don't, there's going to have to be more than just a small change to the Maple Leafs. And of course, you add in the external peripheral opponents that will add to the fire with a lot of fuel. I think that the next couple of months are going to be fascinating in hockey's capital.
Without a doubt. There's a lot of that talk, too, going around. Well, they got so much pressure on them. Because all the outside noise. You know what, Danny? It's like social media and outside noise. And I've said this to you before. And I'll give Dallas Eakins, the coach of the Edmonton Oilers, Anaheim Ducks, and now he's in Mannheim, Germany. He said something in Edmonton when I was there. And I was asked about social media and the noise and all that. He goes, and he said, you know what? Social media and all that noise is like poison. Poison's fine as you just don't touch it and you leave it on the shelf. But when you ingest it, that's when you become sick. That's when you become infected. Do you blame the poison for that? Or do you blame yourself for taking the poison? And if you are letting that outside noise hit you and affect you, you need to go get some help. You need to get to talk to somebody. You need to find a way to block it out, because I don't care who you are. You can block it out. But if you're also making $10, $11, $9, $8 million a year to play a game, and the noise of what the people are saying, and it's when they're talking noise, they're talking about media, because the fans in Toronto are fantastic. They travel well. They support that team. They pay big prices to go watch those games. The fans love that team. Like
absolutely.
Joe Bowen said, but media is media. We are who we are. We are the poison, so to speak. We tell about the game and the players the what we think or what we know. And if that affects the players, that's on them. That's not on us. And if it's so affecting, how come Kobe Bryant was able to do what Kobe Bryant did? How come the Kansas City Chiefs on a national scale are able to do what they do? How come Joe Montana, when Joe Montana was great, Tom Brady, when Tom Brady was great, when all those great players are able to not only block out the noise, ignore it, and excel, then please, I don't feel sorry because the Toronto Maple Leafs are a spotlight, as you said, in hockey's capital in Canada.
Some food for thought as that series comes to a close and the conference finals move on.
We continue now with the Sharks Playoff Report on the San Jose Sharks Audio Network.
So we'll stay with the Eastern Conference, and it's the Florida Panthers and the Carolina Hurricanes. Florida Panthers left winger and right winger, Matthew Tkachuk, very, very valuable member of this team, recalled a series against the Carolina Hurricanes in which he scored some overtime goals, developed a new celebration in OT. And he says that he certainly enjoys playing against Carolina, but he also acknowledges that this is going to be one tough opponent.
I don't think really anybody enjoys playing Carolina. Like, they're a tough team to play against, and they make it hard on you every game. But yeah, there were good memories here in this building a couple years ago in that whole series for us. But, it's all back to zeros now. It's a new year, a new series. I mean, you think about it, I personally thought Carolina was going to beat the Rangers last year. So when you look at it, it could have been 3 years in a row of us playing against each other in the conference finals. So I think that just speaks to how not only talented our two teams are, but how we're built for playoffs. And they are as well. Like, they're a great team, and it's going to make for, another great showdown. But we've been two of the top teams in the East for, even before I got here. Carolina's been knocking at the door, for, like, they've been in and around this for almost like 10 years now. Like, it feels like a long time. So they've had a great run, and it's no surprise that we're facing them in this.
That's Matthew Tkachuk talking about the Carolina Hurricanes. You may remember, Drew, a couple of years ago, they swept them in four games, but it wasn't really a sweep. It was a very close series with lots of overtimes. And as I said, that's when Tkachuk scored an overtime goal, and he was so tired, he just went off the ice.
Let's go. Yeah, he just pointed to the door. Let's go in Carolina. Hey, listen, these are two teams who are very good teams and been good for a while now. Carolina has been knocking on the door for a long time. They play what some people have described here in Canada, Danny, as a boring style, both Carolina and Florida. They win, and they put you to work. They play a lot similar to each other. Pucks behind, get on the forecheck, get to work. When you think of either team, you don't think of the stardom of, say, Toronto with Matthews and Marner and Tavares and Nylander, or Edmonton with McDavid and Draisaitl. You don't think about these two teams that way. You think about teams that literally go to work every game and will just continue to pressure you and pressure you and pressure you until you break.
Now, having said that, the whole is greater than the sum of its parts in Carolina, because Andrei Svechnikov's got 8 goals in the playoffs, which is second only to Mikko Rantanen. Jarvis and Aho each have 10 points, a lot of balanced scoring, very timely plays. And it's not just the saves that you make on one end that have to be timely. It's the goals and the offensive plays that you have to make in a timely fashion. Andrei Svechnikov is a good example of that. But I think a big part of this upcoming series might be the goaltending of Freddie Anderson.
Strom takes a look. Ovechkin shot. Save made by Anderson. And he pounces on the rebound. And afterwards, Ovechkin's given a fling over the top of the Canes netminder. And 13:34 left here in the third. Frederick Anderson with a big save and a big rebound to cover.
So he made a big stop like that, more than one in that series against Washington, and the greatest goal scorer in the history of the National Hockey League. Frederick Anderson and the Carolina defense have been just so spot on. They've only given up 18 goals in the games that they've played. That's a 1.8 goals against average, by far the best in the NHL. And they say, Drew, that defense wins championships, so maybe it will again.
He's got a 9.37 save percentage, Danny. 9.37 save percentage going into the conference final. That's phenomenal. And he is just, he's solid. He's consistent. You don't have to worry about Freddie Anderson and net so far anyway, in the first two rounds of the playoffs. Even though he got hurt for a while, they weathered that storm, 1-2 series, and I think this series is going to be a banger.
Let's move on to the Western Conference, where things got settled between Winnipeg and Dallas in a deciding game number 6. But it began with a lot of sadness because of Mark Scheifele, outstanding centerman, the number one center iceman on the Winnipeg Jets, his father passing away the day before. That's got to be really, really tough for any person to deal with, let alone an entire team in this situation. And Adam Lowry, the captain of the Winnipeg Jets, addressed that before the game was played.
He's just such a infectious laugh. I mean, you know, spending my whole career here, you know, numerous father's trips, you know, just the energy that he had was unmatched. You know, just his joy and excitement for life, and I don't really pass that down on to Mark, but you know, I think his positivity, his outlook on life, you know, just a genuinely happy person, and you know, a terrible loss, obviously. You know, our condolences go out to Mary Lou, Janelle, Kyle, the whole Scheifele family. It's a terrible loss, and you know, it's tough to put into words, you know, how gutted we all feel for Mark and his family.
A heartfelt and a definitely composed response from the captain of the Winnipeg Jets, Adam Lowry, about his teammate, Mark Scheifele. And, you know, he brought up something very interesting, Drew, is that we all get more contact with the parents now because of these father's trips. We actually get to know some of these guys on a much more intimate basis. And so that really kind of makes this a bigger picture thing.
Yeah. In fact, this whole game, Danny, especially the ending and the handshakes and the reaction of the Winnipeg Jets and the Dallas Stars, without a doubt, brought that bigger picture into focus.
Well, it did. And in fact, it got even to be a bigger focus when Scheifele himself had something to say about the game.
Dodonov off a check, but he lost it. Winnipeg and a headman pass. Nikolai Ehlers has got a breakaway. He rolls right in, shoots, and it's kicked away by Onger. It was a 2-on-0 and Winnipeg. Scheifele high slot, shoots, and it's off a stick. And then a high sticking call coming up to Dallas. And they got Vilardi out in front. Scheifele shoots, he scores! Vilardi took a high stick with a delayed penalty. Got the puck along the boards. Centered back out in front. But who better to score than Mark Scheifele tonight? And Winnipeg opens up the scoring. It's 1-0 for the Jets.
That was as close as they would get in the game because Sam Steele would come back for Dallas.
Harley chased back by Namestnikov behind the Dallas net. Finds Dodonov, who in turn gets Haskinen. Off of Ehlers, made it to Harley, and the Stars into the attack zone. Shot, blocker save. Steele with a chance. Score! A long rebound off the Thomas Harley shot. Steele the follow-up, and Dallas has leveled game 6-1.
And so it was all even, and then it was up to Connor Hellebuyck to keep things that square.
Stops and starts, cutback move to the near side for Haskinen. He pedals that down, back out in front for Rantanen, moving right in, shooting, and it's stopped, rebound, Granlund, a shot. It's stopped by Hellebuyck, rebound back in behind the net. Winnipeg off the glass, but not out.
He kept the score that way, no doubt about that. Hellebuyck was there when he had to be, but unfortunately, in overtime for the Winnipeg netminder, it would be a Dallas Stars victory.
Miro Haskinen, the wide turn, slowly out of the star zone. The drop for Thomas Harley, Haskinen to the bench. Dumped in by Marchman off the chest to the corner. Hellebuyck sent it there. Behind the net, Sagan, Harley shot, he scores! He does it! Thomas Harley, a power play goal. The Stars are going back to the Western Conference Final for the third straight year.
Pretty amazing final right there. Thomas Harley, one of the future Stars, out in defense, certainly filling in capably, Drew, for Miro Haskinen, who just came back from an injury. But here's a quick look at the conference final. Third time in the past 45 years that three teams are playing in the Final Four in consecutive postseasons. That, of course, happened with Florida, Dallas, and Edmonton last year. But the only other times, 2021, Islanders, Tampa Bay, and Vegas, and way, way back in 1992 when Boston, Pittsburgh, and Edmonton went to the conference final in consecutive seasons. Also, the Panthers are the only remaining team that has won the Stanley Cup in the last 18 postseasons. So the odds are there's going to be a new one, but I think that that old team, the defending champs, have something to say about that.
Yeah, they certainly do. That whole game was quite the game. The part about the end, Mark Scheifele was in the penalty box at that time. And you look at the way that the Toronto Maple Leafs lost, heads down, Mitch Marner spitting mad, literally. Austin Matthews with the passenger's comment. Mark Scheifele's in the penalty box in overtime. Team scores. He puts his head down. You can tell it's just so hard emotionally for him. And Adam Lowry, what does he do? He skates over to the penalty box. So does Connor Hellebuyck. And they embrace their teammate. And the handshakes in that line, when Mason Marchman lost his dear dad, Brian, with the Sharks, they had that moment. It was special. But how Winnipeg lost as compared to how Toronto lost, Winnipeg lost as a team. They lost together. They lost with each other. And your heart breaks for them. It really does. And it was a lesson, though, as you said, in the game. Life is bigger than the game.
Drew, a final thought here about what this conference final is going to be like in both sides.
Well, I'm looking forward to it. Four teams that were top teams in the National Hockey League the entire year. Four teams, as you mentioned, have been good for a long period of time. Four teams where we could look at a San Jose Shark on every team, some sort of relationship to the Sharks on every team, and have a reason to cheer for them. It's going to be fun to watch. It's going to be two very different series. I think it's going to be a hard-working, heavy, tough series. Well, they're all series are tough, but I mean hard along the boards, really hard compete level in the Florida-Carolina series. And the other series is going to be a little bit faster, but I'm really hoping for Peter DeBoer and for Steve Spott, who've been together for so long, are such wonderful people, wonderful coaches, to get their chance to go to the Stanley Cup final.
However it happens, it's going to be fantastic, and we'll have all of the coverage right here on the Stanley Cup Playoff Report. That's our show for today.
You've been listening to the Stanley Cup Playoff Report. This has been a presentation of the San Jose Sharks Audio Network.